Hey guys, welcome back to Pods and Rec, episode 11, part 2. The following is a continuation of our previous episode, where we sat down with our friend Aaron and talked some more about Parks and Recreation. Enjoy!
The next episode we're moving on to is episode 16. It's called Galentine's Day. It aired February 11th, 2010. The synopsis is, Leslie and Justin try to reunite Leslie's mom with an old flame for Valentine's Day, only to discover he's a total loon. And Justin's rude behavior during the entire episode causes Leslie to look at him in a new light.
So can I just start with saying how thankful I am that she started to really see who Cooey really is?
Yeah, sounds like he's going to be leftovers to me, am I right?
Oh!
I'm so funny!
You've been saving that.
I literally just thought of it, I swear.
What? That's awesome.
Jeebus.
No. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so proud.
That was good, wasn't it?
I'm actually really proud of myself. I'm sorry.
I'm blushing.
I'm feeling very hot right
Lead
now.
You.
Gotta take off my Cosby sweater.
So this episode is actually for our Valentine's Day special.
Cupid.
Brought to you by Sweetums.
Everything's brought to you by Sweetums.
Yep. All right, so any first impressions of this episode? Brad, we'll start with you.
I mean, I really, really like this episode for particular reasons.
Rather than non-particular reasons?
Well, it's just like, the best thing about this episode for me was definitely Mouse Rat and how they basically went back and covered a bunch of old 40s songs.
But they sounded amazing.
They sounded awesome. I've actually looked up to see if there was an album, or a soundtrack. But there's nothing, and I think they should definitely have a Mouse Rat.
Come on, Mouse Rat, we love you. Mouse Rat. Do it.
Mouse Rat for life.
I am excited that Stephanie and I are having a Galentine's Day together.
Really?
It's a little tradition we're going to start doing.
Yeah, do we have to do, like, that intensive gifts, though, that she does?
Definitely not. And those gifts include handcrafted, a bouquet of hand-crocheted flower pins, personalized 5,000-word essay on why that individual person is awesome, and mosaic portraits made from crushed bottles of that person's favorite diet soda.
Aww. That takes a lot.
I kind of want, like, a collage of all the mosaic portraits that she did.
What if they didn't like diet sodas, though? Like, did she just find that version?
Yeah, their favorite soda.
I guess so.
That's pretty intense. I mean, it's very Leslie-like, but that's pretty intense. That's a lot of work, because she doesn't sleep, to do for each one of those ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite parts about that Galentine's Day brunch is Leslie piling on that whipped cream, and Marlene is just, like, looking over at her with stern eyes, like,
Yeah, I caught that, too. That was pretty funny. She loves her some breakfast or brunch.
She loves her sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar, she's
yeah.
always putting, like, extra sugar, whipped cream, and chocolate and everything.
Well, so after the last episode with them having those Nutri-Yum bars, I was like, she was definitely the most level-headed one of all of them, just because I think she's used to it. Like, she just has that much sugar.
She's, like, building up her tolerance.
That was cool.
It's interesting that she had any aversion to the sweets, or sweetums in general, from last episode when we, you know how much she loves sweets and stuff, and whipped cream. But I love some Cool Whip. Don't know about y'all.
Here's a Cool Whip.
Strawberries and Cool Whip.
I can definitely get on some Wesley Knope style Galentine's Day brunch.
Yeah,
some waffles.
Yeah,
with frittatas.
Frittatas.
I'm gonna be drinking champagne with strawberries in it.
Ooh, I have to start with coffee. Depending on how early we start.
Wesley
Knope style. I said I have to start with some coffee depending on how early.
We go to like 8 a.m.
Can we bake it?
Can we all go to the same place, but like you guys sit at your table and we'll sit at ours?
Bake and all that. I was just gonna be like meat and beer and just more meat.
Is your turf and turf and everything?
We have to go to the strip club.
Quarterhouse and
their breakfast buffet. Ooh, wackos.
Yeah, they have a good brunch there.
I heard they have the best burger in town.
Yeah, they
I
do.
Think we talked about Wacko's multiple times on here.
I don't think they're talking about
here.
Food.
Got a baby.
Oh my gosh. Oh, no. Never mind. There's no law.
Let's do it, man. Society.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. All right. So, Tom does everything in his power to mimic Justin, from the way that he sits to the finger, like, on his mouth, like his little thinking pose. Did y'all notice that?
No,
at the very beginning, when Leslie's telling of the story of Marlene, her mom, and, like, her lover.
The greatest story ever told.
The greatest story ever told. Justin and Tom are sitting side by side in the chair. They both have impeccable suits on, legs crossed, and their finger, like, up on their chin, like they're thinking thoroughly about this.
Am I right, Justin?
Am I right, Justin? Tom says that how many times in the episode?
At least 4 to 5.
Yeah. 5 or 6 times.
Yeah. Stupid Justin.
Mm. Yeah. I don't get it, Tom. You're better than that, man.
He is better than that.
You're better than that. I think...
what's happening right now? What's wrong with everyone?
Oh, is this the first episode where they... Well, I imagine it's not, but I... This is the first episode I've seen Leslie's mom.
No. There was, like, a banquet that they did for her.
Okay.
Where she was introduced. Mm-hmm. They've definitely kind of cooled down her character more, though.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
she's still... She... It's... I mean, they don't really comment on it, on what's happening, that she's, like, supporting her more, but she definitely is, like, more of her, like... friend around more in like a casual setting. It's not Leslie trying to impress her constantly.
Right. Yeah, because in the past episodes that we've seen, Marlene hasn't been like the biggest support system for Leslie and has kind of like looked at Leslie to be the one who like builds her up for her own benefit and kind of thing. Yeah. So Marlene's never been really a favorite character of ours. This episode, she wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So how much do you think, like, with the whole Galentine's Day tradition, how much do you think she loves having to tell that story every single time? Just because she's kind of full of herself every once in a while.
That's true. But
Leslie loves it, too, though. I mean, she was mouthing the words.
Leslie,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, she was really into it.
She thinks it's the most romantic story, which, by the way, I didn't feel it was that romantic. Like, that guy just did his job. He saved her from drowning.
He did not let her die.
Yeah.
Romantic.
I mean,
romance.
I mean, did you see that blurred out photo, though, of them?
Oh, yeah.
They did some things
romance
together.
Made me sweat.
Do you think it was, like, doggy style, or, like, maybe not even a picture of sex?
Probably
and...
breaststroke.
Is that a stroke?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Breast, and then the backstroke.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
Firm breaststroke. It's a firm
a little
one.
Butterfly in there.
Ooh, beautiful butterfly.
We learned a little sidebar about Leslie in this episode. She's not a fan of anyone who pretends that toys are people.
Yeah, I 100% back her up on that.
So she hates puppeteers, ventriloquists, anything of that nature.
I like puppets, but I don't like human puppets. Like, I like creatures.
Does that mean, though, that she doesn't like children? Because they play with Barbies and G.I. Joes and pretend that they're real people.
Oh, I don't. They creep me out.
Oh, all right.
No, G.I. Joes don't creep me out as much because it's more...
Shut it down.
I don't know. I don't like Barbies or dolls. I never really had dolls. In recent news, though, I do support that Mattel, you know, that they...
Oh, yeah.
They redesigned.
They got to put some thick booties on them now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They go Barbie booties.
Barbie. Yeah.
I really like them. I actually really like... There was one that it was like the big red-headed one.
Yeah.
Thought that one was kind of cool.
Yeah, all different skin tones.
And they have all different types of skin tones.
And like, yeah.
I like the super curvy one.
Yeah, put some hips
They didn't go too curvy though. All they did was put like some hips on them. So I'm just like, come on.
I think it's still like the same Barbie size. They just put like oversized clothing on them.
I wanted to know if it's just like a little like hoop skirt underneath just to kind of kick it out. Yeah.
Barbie with the body shaper under the body shaper.
Yeah, I didn't want to be too creepy. Or maybe they just have like a snap-on Barbie body, so you're just like...
Oh. Like snap-on extra? Yeah,
yeah.
So more of a Mr. Potato
Head. You get like bigger if you want to.
Just clip-on booty.
Mrs. Barbie head.
The other thing about that article that really got me is that they really stepped their game up on clothing for Barbies. It's insane.
Yeah.
And I saw this like little video about people hand-painting them and stuff, which is the creepiest ever warehouse of all these like little heads on sticks. And they're like, the eyes are all in different stages so that they don't like, so the paint can dry. So some of the eyes are like really wide and they don't have lids on them yet. You're like, they're super creepy.
You're not a fan of creepy dolls or anything?
But I think it's a little sexist because where are the dad bod Kens?
True.
Okay. Where's the little belly and stuff?
Yeah. I want anatomically correct.
Yeah. I want a beer belly.
Yeah, definitely got to fix that.
Beer belly Bob.
There it is. Yeah, keep it real.
Mendel's are a little bit more accurate. It's not like the stick waist that would break if it was a real life person. You'd have to get ribs removed to look like
true,
that.
True.
But they're still... I feel like it's a step up.
Those man action figures, we don't have dolls. We have action figures.
I'm going to call them man dolls. They're man dolls, right? Let's vote. Man dolls.
I know, like He-Man?
He-Man's
got a pretty small waist.
That's true.
Big shoulders? No.
What's the alternative to
Skeletor?
Skeletor's
got a pretty small waist.
No, no.
He's a skeleton, though.
That's a pretty tight one. All the man has
his waist is literally his spine.
Oh. It doesn't mean he has to wear form-fitting clothing, though.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's unattainable.
Nobody can
make Skeletor wear some
unattainable.
I'll never look like Skeletor.
Skeleton.
I always have wanted to have a tattoo of like the 7-digit code that they put on dolls. After seeing that movie Life Size with Tyra Banks and Lindsay Lohan, because Tyra Banks is a doll who comes to life, and it's amazing. And so apparently there's, like, this, like, whatever digit code on the bottom of doll's feet that, like, make them, like, one of a kind or whatever.
You mean, like,
and so
Auschwitz?
When she comes
yeah,
to life.
Like, that's yeah. a little...
No, not like that.
I feel like that could be really dark, though. Like, that could be...
It's like a collector's item. It's not, like, on my forearm. It's on the bottom of my foot. It's on the bottom of my foot. So when she comes to life, it's like a tattoo of the digit code on the bottom of her foot. I don't care that you're making Holocaust jokes right now because this is something that I've wanted since I was a little kid, and I'm going to get it, and you're just going to have to deal with
it.
That's okay.
Brad's
going to
get it on
the
forearm.
You just don't like tattoos. That's why you're like aversion.
If Brad ever got a tattoo, it would be like, you know how in Toy Story that Andy writes the... He writes Andy at the bottom on the feet.
Yeah, on my foot. I was just thinking that.
Maybe I should do that.
I am supportive of that because I support you.
Oh,
thanks.
Did you hear that, Brad? Did you get it?
I mean, I said I didn't say I didn't support her.
Andy Gaddis is
going to
be like, why the fuck do you have my name on the bottom of your foot, dude?
And why do you think I write like an 8-year-old?
any Andy ever, and you're like, no, it's Andy Dwyer.
It could be, though. I mean, there's multiple layers to it.
Mm-hmm. It's like an onion.
You can write Stephanie on the bottom. Ooh.
Commitment.
Because I own you. Every night when you go to sleep, I'm like, Stephanie. Like, writing it on.
I think it would almost be, like, better if you wrote Garza.
Yeah, it would fit more nicely.
That'd even, yeah, that'd be even worse. Don't do that. Stephanie's
do it.
Fine. No, I don't do
Garza. Yeah. So my dad would be like, what the hell's wrong with you,
dude? Yeah. Weird. Come on, bad. What?
I had a girl in high school tattoo my name on the inside of her index finger because she was in love with me.
What?
And forever I've been like,
you got that girl strong.
It was super creepy, though.
What is she doing now? Like, outside your bushes? Like,
no,
oh, there she is.
Oh, my God, that's her. No, so she did that, but it definitely wasn't like,
did she
I knew
do it herself?
She did. It was a stick and poke one.
Oh God, that's
the,
commitment.
Yeah. The level of love, I knew, like, it wasn't too much or too creepy because one of our other girlfriends, she got, like, a real tattoo of, like, a portrait of her, like, one
what?
Of her Facebook photos or whatever. She took it, and it's, like, a sleeve on her
that's
arm.
That's creepy.
Yeah, that's cool. Intense.
That's a whole nother level of creepy.
Whole nother level.
Wow.
So we have another
They're not together
the
anymore, by the way. So she has this random...
Don't say.
See, yeah, that backfires.
Yeah.
Luckily, mine's, like, in a spot where it kind of, like, rubs off, you know, and it's faded. Yeah. So people are like, what does that say? Oh, I can't tell. Okay. And move on. Not that it's like, what's that say? Who's staring at me?
That's just Tommy. Tommy Pickles.
Tommy Pickles. She got pickles on the other way.
Love them.
It's a picture of a diaper looking next to it.
A screwdriver.
A screwdriver. I was trying to think of like what other stuff he has, like a little paper clip
that's
or something.
Literally it. That man is like the MacGyver of
babies.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Get out of here.
All I need is a screwdriver. I'm out.
Well,
so
Well, going back to, I guess, Parks and Rec.
Fuck Parks and Rec. Let's just do a podcast where we talk about our shit all the time. Just kidding. We love you.
So, some of we were talking about earlier about the gifts that Leslie gives for Galentine's Day. Mm-hmm. We also got an insight of what Mark gives and for Valentine's Day, which he gives you the cheesiest stuff, which some girls are into, whatever. But my favorite one is that they had Dennis Feinstein's perfume.
Oh. Yes.
Which, yes. I'm really glad that's like a little Easter egg.
I know, it is. It goes back to, you know, what we talked about, how they, like, pay attention to detail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same name. From? You actually get to meet Dennis.
Oh, he's a future character,
they,
yeah.
They expand.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Played by Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah.
Mantzoukas. A.K.A. Rafi from The Leak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you familiar? Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's that's not cool. Even just for that episode. He kind of has like a semi-reoccurring role.
Yeah. Okay. So. That's cool. They're but, really like, yeah. They think things out. Like they really those do, jokes yeah. run yeah. for a while. Yeah. Like, you mm-hmm. know, that's really cool.
I mean, that, but that has so many layers to it, I think. Yeah. That's you know, deeper. They actually kind of flesh out some of these characters.
Yeah. It's more than just like, oh, this is funny. Let's just put that in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And coming full circle, Jason Mantzoukas and Paul Scheer are on a really great podcast called How did that get made?
Oh, oh, How did this get made?
It's amazing.
Yeah,
no, how did this get made? So listen to that as well, because it's really great.
It's really funny.
Yeah, it is. It's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I like that movie. But then I listen to it, and I'm like, yeah, they're right.
Yeah, I listened to the... I most recently listened to the Ninja Turtles one.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, oh, come on now. Because at least one of them just hates on the movie the whole time. Then other ones are like, no, I like it, kind of. But
probably Andre.
They did a good job.
Double entendres.
No, it's usually the other person.
His wife?
Yeah.
June Diane Raphael. Paul Scheer's wife.
Is that his wife?
Yo,
June is his
married.
Wife?
They're married.
I didn't know that.
They're married in real life.
And her last name's the same thing as Ninja Turtles.
They mentioned that, actually, what? In that episode.
Oh, no.
They are married.
That's crazy.
Oh, I didn't know until I started listening in to the podcast, but they talk about it in a couple episodes.
Weird.
Yeah, I missed that. I guess I haven't gone to that one, because I've kind of jumped around. A lot of podcasts that I listen to that are, that they... review movies. Mm-hmm. If I haven't seen the movie, I'm like, I really should watch it first because I don't want it.
Yeah.
Like, what if they completely hate on it? I'm like, oh, this isn't so bad. Right. But for the most part, they choose movies that are, like, known to be terrible. Yeah. Like Mac and Me, which I listened to that one, and that movie scared the shit out of me as a kid.
Anybody I don't ever see that?
Heard of that movie. Mac and Me is the alien one.
Alien.
Yeah. They're, like, super creepy looking because they have... like, a regular, like, skin tone, like a light pinkish, like a human skin tone, so it's not like an alien translucent or green or something weird, like it's a human skin tone, and they're very, they look like weird dolls, and they're, like, constantly, like, naked or something, but I don't know if they have enough, it's just like weird.
Dolls.
It's just weird, and there's a moment in it where, that I remember very specifically that it freaked me out as a kid, where Mac is in the back seat of a car, and they're, like, inside of a convenience store, and for some reason, which they make fun of in the episode of How Did It Get Made, he's, like, obsessed with Pepsi. It's, like, the whole movie's, like, obvious product placement, and he's obsessed with a Pepsi, and he sees that, like, another car has one, and he just, like, reaches out and takes it, but his arm, like, comes, like, a stretch arm, and just, like, longer than it should be, and gets it, and he just, like, takes it. That freaked me out as a kid that any time I ever saw just, like, a drink sitting there, like, look around, like, is there a little alien thing? It's just going to come up and take it.
Late so 80s, creepy. Early 90s definitely had a thing for making aliens that look kind of like two milk duds that are...
Yeah, it's like...
We're all looking at pictures of Mac and Me right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're pretty creepy.
But between that and E.T.,
they look totally fake, though.
Yeah.
They do, but it freaked me out as a kid because they still left it with, like, if you see how... whenever... most of the time, they don't have clothes on him, and so it just is kind of,
like a wrinkly weird, old body.
Weird, like, plumpy butt. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Freak you out as a kid, huh?
It's what I'd imagine an old man to look like.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's
so cool. It really freaks me out.
Which kind of ties back into the episode of Parks and Recreation.
What? Old people?
Old people.
Let's go back. This is not the episode where we talk about everything other than Parks and Rec. We're going to bring it on back.
So, Tom says... a remark, something like, you don't know about Jay-Z's schedule? He's a renaissance man.
Yeah, I love that.
What does he mean by that?
Aaron, can you shed some light on that? What does he mean that Jay-Z's a renaissance man?
Jay has got his fingers in everything. He owns half a basketball team. Mm-hmm. He owns half a Ciroc. He's got his own cologne. He's helping Bae with her hair every morning.
True.
Got a baby.
That's a full-time job.
Right? So, Bae with her hair. He's a little bit everywhere, you know? Okay. So you don't know what he's doing at any given moment.
Stay-at-home multi-millionaire.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So Jay-Z is to the hip-hop community as Chris Hardwick is to the Nerdist, the nerd community.
I can say
because, like, how they both have these giant empires that they own so much. Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Hardwick is, he's a secret, like, freaking, like, CEO of everything. Like, he's... Yeah. Does work.
He just, we can't officially use the word nerd anymore because it's like he just owns it, you know?
That's so crazy.
We're going to get sued now.
Oh, God, don't sue us.
So we're going to call them nerds.
You're smart. Given that, though, the guy is super down to earth. We've actually met him in person once, and he was just the coolest dude.
Yeah. This dude's been around for a long time. He was on MTV.
Yeah. Singled out. He's like one of my podcast inspirations because he just... Or, I mean, just being yourself. Like, I feel like he's really cool. And he was really cool when we met him.
He's very cool.
Yeah. And his stand-up's really funny.
He's like the Ryan Seacrest of nerdy stuff.
Yeah, but he's not as, like, douchey as Ryan Seacrest is.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like Jay-Z's a good
person. So he's nothing like Ryan Seacrest.
So he's not
whatever happened to Brian Dunkelman? Do y'all remember him? He was the other host of American Idol in the first season.
Dunkelman?
That's Dunkelman. Yeah. He's like, screw this. This show ain't going anywhere.
That's what the producer said. That's an unfortunate one.
Dunkelman.
Yeah.
Dunkelman.
Seacrest and Dunkelman.
Dunkelman? This sounds like... Like Urkel.
Oh, Dunkelman.
Oh, man. Like he got in his cool guy machine and became cool, Brian Dunkelman.
So we've now learned what a renaissance man is. Thank you for that.
That was whenever Family Matters went downhill. It was whenever Steve Urkel made his cool guy machine. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, it was Stefan.
Yeah, it was like Stefan.
Yeah, Stefan. Yeah.
And he finally is liked by what's her name?
Yeah,
that he's in love with the whole time.
Laura. Yeah, it's
like this is some bullshit. Right? You should like him the way he is. And then he's back to Urkel, and she's just like, "You're not Stefan." Like, fuck you, boy.
Yeah, right.
Get your shit together. Anyway,
shallow bit.
Sorry, we're gonna talk about Parks and Rec. I promise. Tammy, go.
Swing it right back to
you. I'm just saying, I'm proud of Tom because I feel like he put himself out there with Wendy. He pulled her into his office, played a little smooth R&B, whipped out some wine or champagne or whatever it was. And, you know, he tried to win her back. And I think he held himself pretty cool when she kind of, like, dissed him and was like, no, you know, we're better as friends, whatever. And he didn't, like, throw a tantrum like a kid, which is what you could maybe expect from him. But he held himself pretty cool, you know, and... I mean, Tommy Timberlake, I love you.
Yeah. He did pour his Ciroc back into the bottle.
No, he's not stupid.
He's not stupid. Jay-Z will come after him for that if he's wasting
Ciroc. And I feel bad for Tom, though, because I think Tom's, like, genuinely a really good guy, but he plays this, like, I'm cool Tommy Haverford. And then he kind of puts the girls off a little bit because he feels like he has to be this cool guy. And I think if he would have just, like, Leslie in a previous episode mentioned, just talk to her, just tell her how you feel, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if he would have just told her how he felt, just himself, and not, you know, Tommy Haverford, you know, Timmy Timberlake or Tommy Timberlake, he would have maybe had a better shot, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, I would agree with that for sure. Kyle comes back.
Kyle.
Good old Kyle from the Shoeshine Stand, Andy's newest nemesis since Lawrence. And what is Andy doing? Is he?
He's practicing for this ball.
Yeah, it's like Valentine's
dance. The Senior Center Valentine's Day dance.
Another example of their recreation. I never really when I previously watched this show, I was so hooked on the word parks that I never really realized the other stuff that they're doing, like throwing dances and things like that, is actually like part of their job. I'm just like, they just like doing this, like outside of work? What's going on?
But it's nice, though, because I definitely say that the overall theme, like through each season, is probably focusing more on the park event, but they mix in a lot of recreation,
they do.
You just kind of subtly hear about.
Yeah, so Andy and Mouse Rat are just practicing and kind of at this battle within themselves of, like, whether they should do oldies or
do their classic rock songs. Because he's not really feeling the oldies. He's like, this is so boring. I don't know if I'm going to do a good job. And Kyle's just sitting there in the background hanging out.
Mm-hmm. And he also hints at a new Mouse Rat song called Sex Hair.
Which I'm pretty certain you hear that later.
You do.
You do. Yeah. You do 100%. I know, because I was just started singing it in my head. I was like,
you get a taste familiar. Of it, but, uh-huh. but you don't actually hear the little song.
Teaser.
Mm-hmm. I really want to hear their songs, because it sounds like they are complete songs. It's not just like, let's play this one little snippet.
Right.
Yeah. So they should totally fix that. Because they have a market. We will help sell it. We'll sell them for more than $10 each in a shoe shine stand.
Yeah.
We'll plug them. Mm-hmm.
So does Justin just, like, not work that he has all this time on his hands to just pick up and go find this person? And
he's on the and schedule, you know? He just kind of...
That's right.
And just hangs out a lot.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
Yeah, like, I keep forgetting she's a nurse at a hospital.
Yes.
Who's on call, works 12-hour shifts.
Yes.
But she's hanging out on the Parks and Rec.
On Valentine's Day, she's just sitting there, and he's like, there's the best girlfriend ever. It's like, go to work.
Like, what are you doing? Valentine's Day has got to be like the third biggest day for a hospital. Like, lovers' quarrels turn bad, and the hospitals are crazy.
The man with the frying pans.
Grey's Anatomy, you need to use that in your
head. There's a lot of like second degree burns from like playing with candle wax. Yeah. Like, some light candle play. Which happens in Amy Poehler's newest movie, Sisters.
Mm. Oh, how was that? You saw it?
It was very good.
It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. So, some other stuff that happened when they actually get to the Senior Center Valentine's Day dance. One of the most precious things that I've ever seen is April looking over at an old couple being cute, and she walks up to him and she's like, you guys are really adorable. And then she like runs away. I was just like, oh.
Her cold heart is warming up. Yeah.
I know.
I keep forgetting, like, in that, she's still supposed to be, like, right out of high school or something.
She's 20. So her 21st birthday is coming up.
Right, right. Because she couldn't drink because her gay boyfriend was talking about getting her a wristband to some club or something.
To the Bulge.
Yeah.
Of course they will.
Our favorite gay club, the Bulge.
I mean, Leslie just needs to show up. She could probably get her in for free at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Leslie's like a hero there. So.
But she also kind of gives her heart, like she's, Leslie's very much like about the rules in that sense, where she's like, nope, can't drink, you're not 21.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe she gets a little drunk. So speaking of April, a little bit of a spoiler, but Derek and Ben are only in one other episode past this one, and then they're gone for good.
Maybe it's because they break up in the end of this episode.
Spoiler alert.
No, we're on this episode.
Remember, they're watching along with us.
Oh, God.
So I was very happy that she did that because they were really irritating me. Every single interaction that they're in, they're not positive towards her at all.
No, not at all. And they're like... I know that it's the shtick of the show or whatever, but they kind of just pride themselves on being, like, dicks or obnoxiously ironic about everything. Yeah. And, like, they, you know, April brings that to their attention kind of, like, when she goes through the whole breakup thing. She's like, all you guys want to do is just sit around and, like, be so ironic about everything. And it's just really annoying. And I think, you know, in line with her falling madly, deeply in love with Andy, you know, she's kind of growing up. That was my flutter.
Yeah. I also got butterflies in my stomach whenever Andy tributed the song. The Way You Look Tonight to her. I was just like, oh my God.
Stupid Anne trying to be all... And that, did y'all feel like a little bit of weird jealousy?
There was jealousy
on that part, right? And it's like, screw you, Anne. Like, you always make fun of Andy, and
she,
like,
made her choice.
Exactly, she made her choice. We'll leave it at that. She made her fucking choice. So back off, Anne.
Yeah, I like that. I like that part, and it shows that what's her name is April. Mm-hmm. You know, she's still like, she acts all cool and like a snarky, sarcastic girl, but, you know, she's still really soft, and she still has a sweet spot for Andy, and always had, and, like, that's kind of, you know, it's showing, and it was cute.
Yeah, so, she's doing more things that she wouldn't ordinarily do.
Right.
Like, you know, helping Tom move, volunteering to be a part of this, even though she said it's part of her job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she was actually required. I mean, I guess they had that whole meeting, didn't they? That they said they all have to be part of it.
Right.
But she was, she got dressed up to be there, and
I think she still would have gone, like, even if she wasn't required to go, if she knew was there, she would have gone.
Right. That's kind of my point, is that she's doing things that are outside of her character because she loves him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like shaping her into the person, you know, that she is. Like, it's kind of opening her eyes into, like, oh, wow, I spent so much time pretending that I hate this that I didn't actually realize that I like it, you know, kind of thing. So.
So that was good, though. And this whole episode, I think the whole tone or theme of it is, like, all the women that were there at the Galentine's Day brunch and stuff, they all had to, like, think about their relationships with their significant others or whoever they're with at the moment, you know? Mm-hmm. Every one of them in this episode kind of came to, like, some kind of clarity about, like, who they're with and, like, what they like and whatever. Like, whether it be, like, Leslie's mom and her old flame and him, like, not panning out to, like, what she thought he would be.
Right.
Yeah. Or April and her guy. And
guys,
plural, yes, that whole weird thing, you know, and Anne, and even Leslie, she had that moment at the end, which I really liked with Ron, when they're at the dance, and this is after her boyfriend Justin Theroux was very pushy and to getting her mom to meet up with her old flame, and then Ron, you know, spoke with Leslie about it, so.
He had some good advice.
He's a tourist. He vacations in people's lives, takes pictures, puts them in a scrapbook, and moves on. All he's interested in are stories.
Huh. Nailed it.
Yeah. Nailed it. I thought that was really beautiful.
That was very well written.
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought that was absolutely beautiful. Because he's 100% right. And just to take it back from being a serious note, do you think that... the reason why they're all kind of evaluating their relationships is because Leslie called them all out in the beginning and said that they're all terrible with love.
Might be.
And which and it turned around. All the women were having horrible times with their relationships.
Right.
Like, all of them. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of ironic.
But Anne's with Mark about her, you know, saying that you can tell by the look on her face. And whenever he's just like, you know, everything, I have a feeling everything's going well. And she's just like, her sidebar with the camera, she just like, I guess, you
didn't
know.
Really make eye contact.
So I feel like Mark is, to give him some credit for us not really liking the guy, he is 100% in on that relationship.
He
and he's trying it all. And he's bought her every single Valentine's gift known to man.
Uh-huh.
So she's self-sabotaging it? Or she just feels like, oh, he's a nice guy, so I'm just going to see where this pans out. I don't know.
See, I definitely thought this was a good Mark episode because I think he really puts in a lot of effort to the relationship, which, I thought that was a cute idea, right? A lot of cliches.
He still sucks, though.
Did you notice that he was pulling all the items out of a shopping cart, though? How did he get the shopping cart in her house?
What?
Like, when he pulled out the flowers, when he pulled out, you know, the chocolates, whatever, when it shows him in the camera view, right behind him is a shopping cart, but they're inside Anne's house.
I didn't even notice that.
It's like, he might have grabbed it from the pit.
From the last or from the last episode, we know he has a truck. I mean, he can just put a shopping cart in there.
Having a pickup
he
truck
must
pays
be very
off.
Strong. Well, no, I guess if he puts it in like
wheels.
Before the locks. No, but I was thinking like locks on a cart. You know how like if you go too far outside the barrier, it's like, you're not stealing me tonight, homeless person. But
What is it in Germany or something like that? They have you have to put a deposit in and you get
it
back into
a quarter. They do that up north. When I was in New Jersey, they did that. It was like you pay a quarter for
that
a cart.
That makes a lot of sense. But I just really want to see if, because I didn't notice that it was in a shopping cart.
Yeah.
I would love to see him getting all his shit like at Walgreens before and just like an old lady staring at him as he's like picking it up and like strapping it into the back of his pickup truck, just like, the fuck, man?
What's this guy doing?
Yeah. Oh, man.
So going back to the other part of this episode is that we mentioned it a couple times, we haven't talked about it a whole lot, was Frank Beckerson, that they're trying to relight the flame of, you know, the greatest story ever told. And Frank ends up being this, like, lame, deadbeat, like, super nervous. He's had, like, four heart attacks and all this. you feel so bad for the guy. But it was, I thought it was really, really funny, but I'm going to use that, as an anecdote to kind of move right into my Parks and Research for this episode. All right. So some interesting things that I found in Parks and Research was, Frank Beckerson, who was played by John Larroquette. If I pronounce that incorrectly, I apologize.
Lacroix.
Leslie asked him if he was a lawyer or was ever a lawyer. He actually played Dan Felding, who was a prosecutor in Night Court from 84 to 92. He also played Carl Sack, a senior partner at Crane, Pohl, and Schmidt in Boston Legal from 2007 to 2008. One of the main things that I wanted to point out about him, though, was there was a reference from one of his speeches that he makes. It's the very end whenever he's telling Marlene that take one last look.
Take one last look, Marlene, because you'll never see this body again.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, not Aaron, because he probably won't get it.
Nope.
But does that remind you of another TV show?
I know already, so I'll let you answer, Ben.
Something that he was in?
He was in.
Oh.
He was. Man. He played himself in one episode.
Probably The Office.
Was it The Office?
It's from 2006. It was not The Office.
The show that started in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
2003.
It's a really good reference.
Is it something that I am a
fan of? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. This is, it's one of the best moments that is a reoccurring gag in this show. I'm going to go ahead and tell you because I'm going to take that as
the woman
gave
says
up.
It.
Is it Party Down? Oh, wait.
Yeah. Arrested Development.
Kitty Sanchez.
Kitty
looks at Michael and she goes, she says, take one last look at these or something like that. You'll never see these again, which is a reoccurring gag on Arrested Development. And apparently they intentionally put that in as a little nod to the show.
That's awesome.
So I thought that was really, really interesting. I know Aaron's not a big fan, but I really like it.
Do you really?
Ugh.
But John also, he played himself in Arrested Development episode SOBs from 2006. So I just thought that was a nice little side note there. And then other information that I found, which we already kind of knew, most of us, was that when Leslie's speech, when she's talking about reuniting Marlene and Frank, she said it would be like reuniting actress Jennifer Aniston and actor Brad Pitt. And then she warns the camera, Aniston, to stay away from John Mayer, who previously, the two of them previously dated. Mm-hmm. In the days prior to this episode airing, John Mayer publicly apologized for a number of explicit sexual and racial comments he made in the past months, which prompted news outlets to praise Parks and Rec for the timelessness of their Mayer joke. Ironically, in 2011, Aniston started dating Justin Theroux, who played Justin Anderson in Parks and Rec, and now they are currently married. So what we were kind of talking about before, about how they really pay attention to current events and everything going on around them, I don't know if they adjust episodes to add that into it, but they really do a great job at paying attention to everything, you know, that is going on around
Very
them,
topical.
So. Yeah, so well, I just wanted to point that out.
I guess the, the John Mayer thing would make it topical, and then I think it's just a happy accident about Justin.
Oh yeah, that's definitely totally a happy accident. But the John Mayer thing,
it's good.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So how about Tom suing Wendy as blackmail to fall back in love with him?
That's cute, funny, a little sad. Poor Tom though, because he really liked her. And that was the only way you can get her back, you know?
Would you blackmail someone
in a second, in a heartbeat?
If you really, really love her.
So, I mean, with Wendy, I just don't feel like she's that good to go to those extremes to blackmail her and try to get her back.
They've been playing married couple for a year or two, and she's pretty cute. She's a doctor. It's funny. Like, they kind of get along, so why not, though?
She's probably, what Tom thinks is, like, the best he's going to be able to get out of Pawnee with how much they talk about.
Yeah, she's a Pawnee 10 and, Jacksonville 8, so. So, I mean, that's a lot.
And a New York 5.
Standards are so high.
Oakland 11.
Yeah, I wanted to say that earlier about, you know, whenever you were talking about how he's trying to romance her and bringing out everything he's got into it. And then I was like, but full circle, you know, he does do this terrible thing. You do see after that, later on at the dance, that they do make up and hug, you know, and now they're fine. So he obviously drops it and recognizes that he did a ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a very sad, pathetic attempt. Mm. And if I was Wendy, I would be really disappointed. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Because it's sad.
Yeah, there's a fine line between creepy, sad, and, like, romantic and cute, you know?
Yeah. Suing is not romantic to
me. Aww, that's love. Yeah.
He is pulling out all the stops of what he can possibly think of to get her attention, which I feel... I mean, I don't know what it's like to be in a sham marriage. But...
That's very good.
And I don't know what their history was like of how they got together and decided to have a sham marriage, a green card marriage. But, you know, she's got to understand that the type of guy that Tom is from them being together for a while, that he, it's not, I feel like it shouldn't be a shock to her that he feels this way.
Do you think he peacocked her? Or like...
Peacocked her.
Yeah. Or maybe gave her an extra key or... We've seen multiple Tom things and kind of his strategies on how to pick up women. Mm-hmm. And they're all ridiculous. Like, I wonder if maybe this one just kind of worked. And
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think we ever really hear or we ever did hear the backstory of that. So, I don't know. Some other observations that I had was I really liked Ron high-fiving Leslie after she does her Terminator impression.
Mm, yeah.
I thought that was kind of cute.
That's pretty good.
That was random.
Yeah.
Yeah. After she quotes, was it Ronald Reagan?
It was JFK.
JFK.
Yeah, so this is a pretty good JFK.
Yeah.
Who was it that said Terminator? Was it Tom?
Tom.
So yeah. He's
Terminator.
Like...
Yeah, Terminator, right?
So have y'all thought about who your MVP will be for this episode?
I said April.
I'm going to definitely go with Ron. He kept it real at the end. It was really touching. I liked it.
I knew you'd say that.
I have to go with Andy on this one.
Why?
Because he shouted out to April.
Okay.
I haven't really thought about it. So, I want to choose a different one than everybody else.
Well, so choose a different one. Okay. I choose April because I think she did the right thing standing up to Ben and Derek for being little dicks. And kind of like realizing in herself growing up and that she is interested in the possibility of love. And it was kind of, I felt like it was a life-changing episode for April. She kind of moved from being like a snarky, sad, depressed person to being like full of optimism about the future, and it just puts her and Andy one step closer to being together. So I like her.
April optimism.
How about April? Yeah, April level optimism. I mean, she still stays like dark and twisted, but that's what we love about her.
Yeah. So are we trying to defend our position?
That was my defense. I mean, like, what ifs?
Andy Brave possibly getting flashed by an old lady, so... and having his eyes fall out.
Yeah, I feel like he was wanting that old lady flashing, though.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I mean, the whole episode, he was kind of torn between, like, not knowing how to tell if this was a successful gig or not.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty funny. In the end, he got his dues.
I just think it's funny how, like, he has no knowledge of really any other musicians except for, like, the ones that he's super interested in. Like,
yeah.
I love Dave Matthews, loves, you know, whoever else he's talked about. I don't know. But it's, like, anyone else who's had, like, such a contribution to music, like Louis Armstrong or Dean Martin, you know, he's like, and who is that? Yeah. What? I just play guitar good. Dogs. You know, like, well...
I'm going to go different, and I'm going to say Leslie for this one because I feel like it started out as a really sweet gesture for her to say, let's, you know, that they find and going along with it for a while. And I'm really proud of her, like, with trying to find Frank and everything for her mom. I feel like Leslie, I'm really proud of her for realizing that Justin and her were not a good match and breaking it off. Because I'm very happy to say that this is the last that he's in it. in the series. And I feel like she puts a lot of effort into, like, her Galentine's Day. She puts so much effort into showing people how much she appreciates them. So
she's very Leslie in this episode.
Yeah, yep. It's nice that she was able to recognize just how kind of superficial Justin was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he definitely had that theme of, you know, trying to be a one-upper, not really paying attention to what you're saying. Or,
yeah. I mean, Ron really hit the nail on the head, because it's like you watch the episodes with Justin and you can't quite put your finger on, like, what it is about him. Like, yeah, he is, you know, he does, like, the one-upping thing where he's like, oh, I've been to Africa or whatever. Like, he uses his travels and experiences, and that's kind of weird. But it's also like, you know, hey, he just may be a really, like, well-traveled, nice guy, and, like, he travels so much, that's all he can talk about. So you kind of go back and forth debating on if he's a good guy or not, but Ron really hit it with that tourist thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, are we going to settle this? The rock, paper, scissors?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do we all play at the same time? What happens?
Yeah, we all play at the same time.
Okay, and then, so, like, the losers will be out of that round, and then, like, the winners will play each other.
If there's a tie at all.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ready? All
right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Wait, no, we play each other. No, it's a tiebreaker
because we beat you.
And I beat you.
But I beat all you guys.
But she beat...
You beat two and I beat you, so we're playing the
all right. All right, we'll take it that way.
It's me and Aaron, showdown. Let me see my instant win. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Stop doing what I'm doing.
Oh.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right.
Stop
it. So we're still going, right?
Yeah, we're still going. I got to take a breather for a second.
Oh, my God.
All right, we just did three rocks.
Like normally, and then paper together. What's
from one thing to the next, right? Help you out here a little bit.
We're getting very intense.
All right, ready?
Are you ready?
There's eight rocks.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, my name, you won.
All right.
I won.
Do you quick happy dance?
Yeah. We haven't given April an MVP yet, so it's about damn time.
I'll be honest with you, I forgot who you chose, so just like, everybody just go.
Go.
So,
all
right. Eva may or may not be happy about that.
It sounded like Ron's moan. All right, Brad, what'd you rate this episode?
This was a really, really good episode. I love just how charming it is. So I think I'm going to go ahead and bite the bullet and give this a 5 out of 5
what?
Old ladies who know about Duke Silver.
You went for your 5 out of 5.
I went ahead and used it. I love this episode just because I think, you know, Mousrat's so prominent in it. And I like just kind of the overall idea, and Leslie kind of figures out that Justin's not really meant for.
Yeah.
It's not the funniest episode, I wouldn't even say that, but I just think it's well written.
Yeah, yeah. For an episode revolving around Valentine's Day, we get multiple breakups. You know, we've got Leslie and Justin, and then April and Ben and Derek. So
April has 2 breakups, technically.
I rated it. I loved it. But not my favorite of the series, so I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 creepy puppeteers. You're welcome.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
I enjoyed this episode. I wouldn't necessarily give it another 5 out of 5, although I commend you for being brave enough to go there. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5, asking Ron for permission to take a nooner.
So. Okay. I thought it was good. Not the best. There's far better, like, more charming, like, thought-provoking episodes. I'll give it a 3.5 frittatas out of 5.
So, yeah. Frittatas.
So, there it is.
Yep.
What is a frittata? It's like an egg thing, right?
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't like it.
All right, exactly. That's why I don't know what it is. I hate eggs. Eggs, milk, peas. Ugh. Gross.
Those things? Like, most of breakfast.
Even milk? Ugh.
I'm not a breakfast person.
Do you like milk?
No. I like milk and other things. Like, I get my calcium from, like...
You like oatmeal?
No.
So you are not a...
Who eats oatmeal?
You knocked everything off the...
I like oatmeal.
Oh, man. What else is there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Grits, you don't like pickles, so already it's, like, very unsettling.
Pickles is, like, a weird, like, I'm at a bar, I'm drunk. Pickles, like...
Really? So, you eat pickles drunk at a bar?
Who here eats pickles on, like, oh, dinner time, let's make some pickles?
Well, that's not what no one eats pickles like that, but if you get pickles on your burger or, you know, like
a side of fried pickles.
Sometimes when I went to school, like, my little side would be a little mini sweet gherkin.
I eat pickles sober. Yeah.
I eat pickles sober. Yeah, for sure. Little sweet gherkins is your lunch side.
Yum, yum.
Going along with your little ham and mayonnaise sandwich.
Mayonnaise.
I'm the only sane person here. Whatever.
Likes oatmeal.
I didn't know that you were so anti-breakfast, though. You're an anti-breakfast
queen. It is not that I'm anti-breakfast. Yeah. I love the idea of breakfast. I think it's fantastic. And I wish that I liked eggs and milk, because it's really hard to go to a fucking breakfast place and not be able to really have anything, because it's like, okay, this comes with eggs, this comes with eggs. I got to get, like, biscuits and gravy, or, like, a side of bacon and a side of fresh fruit. And, like, that's my life.
Like hash browns.
I love hash browns. Generally, I do, like, a pancakes or waffles, because you can always get those kind of, like, la carte kind of thing.
Get that. Yogurt.
Yeah.
Some fruit.
Anything with eggs, though, man. Ooh. Use them occasionally. I, like, mix them up a little bit. And, like, you know, if I'm doing, like, breadcrumbs on, like, some chicken or, some cube steak or something, I'll use it as, like, a...
What about, like, batter, though? Batter has eggs.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I use it for, like, batter, or, like, I'll eat a cake. It has, like, an egg or two in it, you know. Mm-hmm. Just as long as I don't have to, like, physically, like, look at the egg while I'm eating it, I think I'm okay.
Scrambles,
I know, and it looks so good, but I just can't do it. I used to, when I was little, I used to dip my toast right on in that little sunny side up egg, and I was like, nom, 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 and now I'm just like, whoop. Yeah.
All right, then.
So that's my egg place. Sorry, I'm about eggs.
For the record, this has been a lovely podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for being on. We loved having you as a guest. Mm-hmm. And it's up to our listeners, though, if you're allowed back.
Vote for me. I don't know, this is like American Idol.
So
like,
you can vote for any of our past guests to come back.
Yeah. Guest number 1,458.
We're going to make like the Obama back. Change poster, but just like with your face on it. Like, vote for me.
Come on.
So is there anything that you're watching or any like anything you want to plug that you like?
You guys have already seen it. I watched Masters of None.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a good one.
You'll love it.
Freaking awesome. I've been watching a lot of K-drama.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about that at all. So you can just plug away.
I've never heard of that. What is it?
It's a genre, Korean dramas.
Okay.
Yeah. There's one like My Sassy Chef. There's My Ghost Girlfriend.
Did Sakari get you into this?
You told
she's
me about
big on the Korean TV shows.
A lot.
She's big in the forums. Like, we talk, like, you know.
Stop it. Seriously?
Yes. We know. We give each other the, you know, boom. Secret Korean drama.
Korean handshake.
Yep. So, she knows what's up. A lot of that. And then, X-Files came back.
It did. It came back. Oh, my God.
What? So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for some Mulder and Scully action, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Scully's gonna make him make her a believer, though.
Mulder's gonna make Scully a believer. Yeah. Mulder's gonna make Scully a believer. That's right. Yeah. Don't believe in that bed spring.
So thanks for having me, guys. Vote for me.
Brad, what are you watching?
I'm not really watching anything per se, but lately I've been getting really, really excited because we just got tickets to go to a Ben Folds concert.
Yay, Ben Folds.
Very nice. Where's he playing?
He is playing at the Times Union Theater.
Florida Theater.
Mm-hmm. So, it's...
Those were two separate theaters that were just told to me.
It's Florida Theater.
Florida Theater. Amazing. It's got great acoustics. That'll be a fantastic show.
I'm excited for it. I'm a big Ben Folds fan. It is not him in the full five, though. But
Ben Folds is great, though.
Yeah, I'm really not too worried about that. April is going to be kind of a big month for us with shows, because I also recently found out there's an Alabama Shakes concert, who they are probably like the new up-and-coming favorite band of mine. I love them. They're so good. And if you haven't heard them, you need to listen to them, because
that would be me, because I've never really listened to anything
else. You might have heard a song, like, not knowing, but they're really, really awesome. I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah, and on top of that, the Veterans Arena is going to have Pearl Jam the week before.
Oh, did you already get your tickets?
I want to.
You're really doing this.
I want to.
I was reading that they're sold out. Like, I haven't, like, had it confirmed. You know, you could probably still find some stuff on StubHub or whatever. But, like, I think, like, Ticketmaster and all the main ticket sites are...
I would imagine they were sold out. But if I can get a ticket, I'm totally going to go.
Toad's gonna go, little baby,
just to jump on the Andy Dwyer, like, 90s tribute, and how much you love.
I might buy a DJ Roomba just to play some of their songs.
DJ Roomba.
It'll be, like, Andy-style DJ Roomba.
Yeah. Tyler and I are going to see The Cure in June.
What?
So that'll be pretty good. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
right. But they're playing at the Atlanta Amphitheater, which is one of my favorite music venues. It's fantastic. So I'm very excited about it. And we're just going to make a weekend of it, hang out in Hot Atlanta, and just like roll up, toe up from the flow up, you know?
Oh, you crazy kids.
Son. Yeah. All right. All right.
Miss Sylvester.
Yeah, what about you?
I'm going to jump on the music train here and just say that recently, before we were actually recording, we were watching a Postal Service, it was a reunion tour with Jenny Lewis, and it just kind of like, it's like from like 2013, but it just kind of like randomly just turned it on, and it just like relit that flame for the Postal Service for me because I love Ben Gibbard. I'm not a huge Death Cab fan, but I love the Postal Service. I feel like that was, like, my defined, like, my high school experience that I, like, listened to their albums so much. And it was so nice watching. There was, like, a documentary about it where they played, like, a bunch of their songs and then they talked about it. And Jenny Lewis gave her perspective on everything. And she was just so emotional about how this album is so old and people, you know, they just did this tour in 2013 and there are people like crying, and it's like such an emotional experience. And I just remember feeling that. So, my little plug here is to, you know, it's nice to go back to, you know, things that meant so much to you in music, and it really takes you back to a time. And Brad and I have been kind of doing that a lot lately, listening to old music that we used to listen to forever, like 15 years ago.
We have definitely been on a Palladia kick lately with all their live concerts and stuff that they do, which it's an awesome channel.
It really Palladium? Is.
Palladium. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So. I have to thank David. He streamed Lollapalooza like 2 years in a row, and the Postal Service reunited at Lollapalooza sing a set together, and it was awesome.
So that's my that's my plug.
I love Postal Service.
Well, I said The Cure, but I watched Ex Machina last night with Tyler, and I know we've already talked about it, and you guys suggested for us to watch it, and we've had it for a while, but we've never just found the right night to do it, and it was, I fucking loved it. I thought it was great. Have you seen it, Aaron?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
It's trippy, though. It's
trippy. Beautifully shot. I mean, all of the actors are incredible, and when you think about, it's probably, probably really cheap to make, like with the tiny cast and then like the one setting, you know, like thinking about it from like a production value perspective.
That was good.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. And I kind of really want the soundtrack because I thought the score was really fantastic.
I thought it was ridiculous that Oscar Isaac was in that movie.
And why is it ridiculous?
Well, I mean, him being in Star Wars and then him
both
being
of them.
Both
like,
of them are.
Yeah.
Well, Donald Gleason as well.
Yeah, he was the evil guy.
He plays Hux.
But I British guys.
But let me rephrase that. I feel like he was a very different character than he was in Star Wars.
Oh,
very
different. Yeah, of course.
I know what you mean. You mean all around look, how
like,
he's like shaved head, big beard.
Yeah, that is,
he's like doing, you know, he's exercising the whole time.
He definitely, Isaac skinnied up a little bit. And then
for Star Wars, right?
Yeah, for Star Wars.
Beefy
For Star Wars, And then other guy, he got all evil and all like. You know,
I love him.
Fascistic.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Turns
into a little bit of Hitler there. Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie, and I'm excited. We didn't watch it last night because the movie ended at like 1:30. We were so tired, wanted to go to bed, but the Blu-ray has an extended version of the dance sequence in the movie. Oh. And so I'm really excited to watch that because that was one of my favorite parts when he and Kyoto or whatever her name is just are like dancing.
That was definitely one of the moments where you're just like, what the hell is happening right now? So I highly recommend watching that movie.
That was good because you're just like, do you believe her or not? Like, do you feel for her? Or like, that was real good.
I really
without giving any too many spoilers, like, it definitely, it's one of those movies that really makes you think for a long time after that. That one really hit me hard. It really did.
I really want to see, there was a trailer before the movie for another Oscar Isaac film called A Most Violent Year. And I know it was nominated for a lot of awards, and I've heard about it, but never really like saw a trailer or saw who was in it. But after seeing the trailer, I really want to see it. So I hope I'll see it before we record next time, and then I'll be able to give my suggestions for it.
It seems to be a very versatile actor.
I mean, it's kind of, it's so weird because it's like he came out of nowhere, kind of like all of a sudden he's in like all this shit, and he's super handsome and super talented and really seems like an all-around good guy. Well, thank you guys for joining us on episode 11 of Pods and Rec, and thank you, Aaron, for being here. We enjoyed having you.
Hey, you're welcome.
This is the last thing you're going to say on the podcast. What's it going to be?
Both for me.
Sweetums.
Where can we follow you? Can we follow you anywhere on social media?
Don't fucking anywhere follow you me.
All right.
No.
So don't follow Aaron or Brad.
Only follow them in real life.
Don't do that. Oh, yeah. Only in real life.
If you have any comments, questions, love, suggestions.
Yeah, catch me at Birdies sometime, you know.
Or email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. You can tell us how much you loved or hated Aaron, and we'll be sure to share everything with him, mostly the hate mail. But we are also on Twitter and Instagram. It's podsandrec, PODSANDREC. And look for a Facebook page soon. I think I'm going to create one of those. And, yeah, we love you so much. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thanks. All right, have a good night, guys.
We'll see you next time.